Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Genesis, and this is chapter 44. Let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask him to pour out his spirit on this tape. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank and praise you for eternal life, for this spirit of life. We thank you, Lord, that you warned us that in the last days that Satan would wear out the saints. And we thank you, Lord, that there's an army of people here on earth that are trying to run interference for the leaders. And I thank and praise you, Lord, for their prayers, although I know they could be praying a lot more. Lord, anoint this chapter. Let it sink deep into every hearer of it. Let it open up their spirits, their lives, to give them the power. Let it give them the power, Lord, your power, your grace, your power, to live another day in the Spirit. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go.
Genesis chapter 44, King James Version, verse 1. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food.
Okay, now this is just after they got through with their feast. They were sitting down at the feast at the end of chapter 43, and now they got finished. They used their napkins to wipe their mouths and everything and cleaned up, and now read the beginning of it again.
And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth.
Keep going.
And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Here is the commentary.
Verse 1 through
4. Joseph's silver cup. When his brothers were ready to leave, Joseph gave these instructions to the man in charge of his household. Quote, fill each of their sacks with as much grain as they can carry, and put each man's money back into his sack. Then put my personal silver cup at the top of the youngest brother's sack, along with his grain money. So the household manager did as he was told. The brothers were up at dawn, and set out on their journey with their loaded donkeys. But when they were barely out of the city, Joseph said to his household manager, chase after them and stop them. Ask them, quote, why have you repaid an act of kindness with such evil? King James Version, verse 5. Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth, and ye have done evil in so doing? And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Commentary.
Do you know what it was they're saying there? Okay, read the commentary.
Commentary, verse 5 through 10. What do you mean by stealing my master's personal silver, my master's personal silver drinking cup, which he uses to predict the future? What a wicked thing you have done, end quote. So the man caught up with them in
the... So it's obvious that these idolaters thought that Joseph used that silver drinking cup to divine with, to use a method of finding out what was going on in the universe, other than by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, and that isn't really what it was, but that's what they just figured. People assume all kinds of things. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but we're when you read that many people or theologians or students would probably think, gosh, Joseph turned into an idolater. He was divining, all right? He was turning into an evil person. That isn't true. It's just that this man assumed that. Joseph never told him to say that. Did he?
No.
Okay. So that's his own words. That's what I get it in for people when they start using their own words, you know, over and above what I told them to say. And a lot of people do that, and it really is a very bad testimony. Either you believe that the person is of the Lord and you say what they're saying, or just seal your lips. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 6. So the man caught up with them in the way he had been instructed. Quote, "What are you talking about?" the brothers responded. "What kind of people do you think we are that you accuse us of such a terrible thing?"
That's exactly what this King James Version was saying, but it was saying it in an awkward manner, okay, for today's people. Then what?
"Didn't we bring back the money we found in our sacks? Why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If you find his cup with any one of us, let that one die, and all the rest of us will be your master's slaves forever." End quote. Quote, "Fair enough," the man replied, "except that only the one who stole it will be a slave. The rest of you may go free."
Right, that's what was being said, exactly. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 11. "Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack."
God, they started searching the sacks from the oldest brother down to the youngest. Okay, then what? Keep going on there.
"And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack."
Okay.
"Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city."
Okay, and now go to the commentary.
Commentary, verse 11 through 13. "They quickly took their sacks from the backs of their donkeys and opened them. Joseph's servant began searching the oldest brother's sack, going on down the line to the youngest. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack!" Exclamation point. "At this, they tore their clothing in despair, loaded the donkeys again, and returned to the city." King James Version, verse 14. "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." Commentary, verse 14 through 16. "Joseph was still at home when Judah and his brothers arrived, and they fell to the ground before him. Quote, What were you trying to do? Joseph demanded. Didn't you know that a man such as I would know who stole it? And Judah said, Quote, O my lord, what can we say to you? How can we plead? How can we prove our innocence?"
And in this particular case, Joseph was telling them that he could divine so that he wouldn't ruin the facade of him being an Egyptian. Okay? He was just putting on, he was testing them and trying them to see if they had repented enough for him to be able to reveal himself unto them and be kind to them. Okay? So if he wasn't going to say, "Don't you know that I'm a man of God and that I'd interpret dreams and I can see all these things by the power of God," he said, "No, that I can divine." Amen?
Amen.
Just to keep the thing going. All right, then what else? The facade. All right, what else?
"God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have all returned to be your slaves, we and our brother who had your cup in his sack." King James Version, verse 17. "And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of
his... You asked us before, Do we have a father, and how is he doing? You, Joseph, asked me that, us that, and we said, Yes, we do. Okay, that's what he's saying. Then what else?
And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone
and
is...
His brother, meaning Joseph, is dead. Okay, then what?
And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. Commentary, verse 17 through 26. Quote, No, Joseph said, Only the man who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go home to your father. Judah speaks for his brothers. Then Judah stepped forward and said, My Lord, let me say just this one word to you. Be patient with me for a moment, for I know you could have me killed in an instant, as though you were Pharaoh himself. Quote, You asked us, my Lord, if we had a father or a brother. We said, Yes, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, his youngest son. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him very much. And you said to us, Bring him here so I can see him. But we said to you, My Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for his father would die. But you told us you may not see me again unless your youngest brother is with you. So we returned to our father and told him what you said. And when he said, Go back again and buy us a little food, we replied, We can't unless you let our youngest brother go with us. We won't be allowed to see the man in charge of the grain unless our youngest brother is with us. King James Version, verse 27. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Commentary, verse 27 through 31. Then my father said to us, You know that my wife had two sons, and that one of them went away and never returned, doubtless torn to pieces by some wild animal. I have never seen him since. If you take away his brother from me too, and any harm comes to him, you would bring my gray head down to the grave in deep sorrow. And now, my Lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. When he sees that the boy is not with us, our father will die. We will be responsible for bringing his gray head down to the grave in sorrow. King James Version, verse 32. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father for ever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Commentary, verse 32 through 34. My lord, I made a pledge to my father that I would take care of the boy. I told him, quote, if I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. Please, my lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy, and let the boy return to with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I cannot bear to see what this would do to him. That's the end of the chapter.
Okay, that's the end of the chapter, chapter 44, Genesis. And now there's a small commentary here.
44:18-34. Quote, then Judah stepped forward and said, quote, my lord, let me say just this one word to you. Be patient with me for a moment, for I know you could have me killed in an instant, as though you were Pharaoh himself. You asked us, my lord, if we had a father or a brother. We said, yes, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, his youngest son. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him very much. And you said to us, bring him here so I can see him. But we said to you, my lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for his father would die. But you told us, you may not see me again unless your youngest brother is with you. So we returned to our father and told him what you said. And when he said, go back again and buy us a little food, we replied, we can't unless you let our youngest brother go with us. We won't be allowed to see the man in charge of the grain unless our youngest brother is with us. Then my father said to us, you know that my wife had two sons, and that one of them went away and never returned, doubtless torn to pieces by some wild animal. I have never seen him since. If you take away his brother from me too, and any harm comes to him, you would bring my gray head down to the grave in deep sorrow. And now, my lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. When he sees that the boy is not with us, our father will die. We will be responsible for bringing his gray head down to the grave in sorrow. My lord, I made a pledge to my father that I would take care of the boy. I told him, if I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. Please, my lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I cannot bear to see what this would do to him.
Okay.
Judah stepped forward to plead for Benjamin's freedom, fearing what it would do to Jacob to see Benjamin in slavery. The brothers, years earlier, decided to sell Joseph to the slave traders because of their jealous hatred of him. They had caused great sorrow to Jacob. Now Judah is more than willing to set Benjamin free and put himself in the hot seat instead. All the brothers now are broken. Down through the years they matured. They had learned from their past mistakes. This showed Joseph that they were humble and that he could reveal his true identity to them. They would be reconciled with their brother after all those years. 44:1-12. Joseph continued his plan of instructing and chastening his brothers according to his dream. 44:13. Quote, at this they tore their clothing in despair, loaded the donkeys again, and returned to the city. Tore their clothes, an ancient Semitic demonstration of grief, anger, or repentance.
All right, if a person was grieved, they'd rent their clothes. Or if they were repenting, they would rip their clothes. If they were angry, they would do it as well. It's just a demonstration of how vexed they are. All right, so the next chapter, 45, is when Joseph saw the repentance in them and how broken they were, that they would gladly take his place because they didn't want the father to grieve any longer. And so he reveals himself in chapter 45, and we'll be doing that later on today, or tomorrow, you'll be hearing that tape. Until then, that was chapter 44, Genesis. Until then, keep looking up. Keep praising and thanking the Lord. Remember these words, and remember, apply the lessons from every one of these chapters to your own life. Don't be like Joseph's brothers, but be like Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
So that the Lord can bless you. And also always remember that no matter what trials and tribulations that we must go through, everyone must go through in life, that there isn't anything else we can do about it. We have to go through them. We can't throw in the towel, because there's too much grief and sorrow eternally if we do. We have to continue on in Christ Jesus, and He gives us enough strength through His Spirit to continue on, and He gives us more than enough power to continue on in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit. The grace of God is the power of God. That's what grace means. By the power of God I shall prevail. Amen?
Amen.
So till then, keep concentrating, thinking about the Lord, meditating on Him day and night. Concentrate. Think about the Lord, and think about all the things that we have in Him. Be thankful. Have a thankful heart, no matter what goes on through us. Look what Joseph went through. Look what the Lord went through. Until then, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.